thing is Christmas camels. And hopefully I won't trip up and say Christmas candles. Christmas camels. And this morning I want to talk to you about their cargo and about their range. Our gospel lesson introduced us to John the Baptist in Mark 1 and 6. And John was clothed with camel's hair. Father God in heaven, we thank you for this and help us to dwell on this one little micro piece of your word here and see your, as always, your grand significance in every single detail. Father, it is my prayer that each and every single one of us will be Christmas camels. Help us as we look at this passage in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. It may be that the last time that you thought about camels was that old cigarette commercial, "I'd walk a mile for a camel." Today, as I reference camels, I want you to think about John the Baptist, clothed, dressed, looking like, and playing the part of a camel. Playing the part of a camel. Was this coat of camel's hair just accidental or incidental in some way? Was it mentioned in that aw shucks kind of a way? Does the Bible do that, or does the Bible give us in exacting detail things that God surely wants us to zero in on and focus on? Because after all, there are all these patterns in the Bible. I don't think it was accidental. I don't think it was incidental. And I'm going to open here by really borrowing something, but then building upon something, an insight that I first heard about from a mentor of mine, Jeff Myers. I'm going to borrow for a bit, but then I'm going to build on it. And then finally, the issue is we're going to apply this to us. Are you a camel for God? And I don't want to get ahead of myself here. How far will you walk to bring someone to Jesus? Some people would walk a mile for a cigarette. We're going to talk about camels. We're going to talk about the cargo. And we're going to talk about the range, how far they go. Are you a camel for Jesus? John certainly was. Well, let's back up here a little bit. Camels, they're really only listed here and there in the Old Testament. Of course, they're listed there. This is a Eastern culture. A lot of it is desert. Pretty much the only game in town for transportation. But they're mentioned here and there, and predominantly it was simply the wealthy people who had the bulk of them for sure. Most people didn't have any of them at all. And the wealthy people had them for transportation, and they had them as beasts of burden. Kind of a old school Amazon, if you will. You want to get a packet to go from here to there, right? Or maybe UPS, right? Right, Anthony? What can Brown do for us, right? Abraham had some camels. Job, the greatest man in the East, had 3,000 of them. That's a lot of poop in your driveway. By the time you get to the end of the book of Job, he has 6,000 camels. A double blessing, a double restoration. The Queen of Sheba has camels. She brought gifts and gold and spices to Solomon simply to hear his wisdom. You know, kind of like the way that Karen sometimes brings me gifts to hear my wisdom. But honestly, folks, there's not a lot in the Bible about camels. There's not a lot about camels, except for one place. And here's where I want you to really zero in. And it's the story of Abraham sending out a servant to find and then to bring home a bride for his son Isaac. And it's all in one chapter in the Bible. This heavy concentration, this heavy intensity of mentioning of camels. Camels, 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 everywhere in this one chapter. Some 16 references to camels in Genesis 24. I hope we have the right reference here. Okay. Who thinks Miss DeLapp has a quick finger over there? Verse 10, camels are there. Verse 11, camels are there. Verse 14, camels are there. Verse 19, camels are there. Verse 20, camels are there. 22, camels are there. Verse 30, camels are there. 32, camels are there. Some of these verses have mentioning camels twice in them. Are we on 32? 35 has camels mentioned. 44 has camels mentioned. 46 has camels mentioned. And then you come to 61. And a Rebekah arose. The servant of Abraham had found the bride. And her name was Rebekah. She had camels too. The whole encounter, if you remember, she's watering her camels, and Abraham's servant went up, and they're watering camels at the well there. But Abraham, Rebekah here arose, and her damsels, that's her girl friends, so to speak, and they rode upon the camels, and they followed the man. That was the servant of Abraham, and the servant took Rebekah and went his way. He picks her up, and he's going to bring her back to Abraham. But more specifically, he's going to bring her back to Isaac. The camels carrying the bride to the bridegroom. The camels carrying the bride to the bridegroom. I want you to look at verse 63 of this passage. And Isaac, right, this was the only son, not my only begotten son kind of metaphor going on there. Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the evening tide, and he lifted up his eyes, and he saw, and behold, the camels were coming. He knew that it was mission accomplished, that the servant of his father had sent out camels. He found the bride, and the bride is coming home. Anybody here ever hear the expression about when someone is getting married, their ship is coming in? This is the camels coming home. His ship was coming in. His camels were coming in. Now, I'm not going to take the time today to rehearse all of the ways that Isaac is a type of Christ, but surely he is. He is the seed of promise. All the promises of God are yea and amen in Christ, but they come through the line of Isaac. Isaac is a type of Christ, and we see that all over the Bible. And Father Abraham, like God the Father, is finding a bride for his son, the bridegroom. In one case, Isaac, in another case, Jesus Christ. Now fast forward to John the Baptist. He's dressed for the part. Do you get it? He's clothed in camel's hair. He looks like a camel. And he's going to function as a camel. He's dressed for the part, playing the role, doing his duty. Look at John chapter 1 and verse 29. The next day, John sees Jesus coming to him, and he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world." Who's he saying that to? He's not saying that to himself. He's saying that to others all around him. And he is pointing people to Jesus. Then in verses 35 through 37, we see more. Again, the next day after that had happened, after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, again, he repeats this. We could do all kinds of theology here. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, singular, meaning it's our condition, and it isn't necessarily just that. This sin here, or that sin there, or that sin over there. Didn't take away the sins, plural, but the sin, meaning that thing that is desperately wrong, deadly wrong in each and every single one of us fallen sons of Adam. He took that away. So he makes that announcement again that he is the Lamb of God, and look to him. And then it says this, and two of the disciples heard him speak and they followed Jesus. They got on board. Mission accomplished. John is carrying people. He's carrying the new church. He's carrying the bride to the new and greater Isaac, the Lord Jesus Christ. Bringing people to Jesus. After this, we won't go through all the detail here, but John's followers start flocking to Jesus. John's the camel, and he's bringing the bride, comprised of many individuals, right? The church. But John is bringing the bride to Jesus. We could pick it up in John chapter 3. There's a little bit of debate about baptizing and purification rites, and that's the background of this passage here. John, this is John the Baptist, he answers and he says, look, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. John understood himself to be someone who was going to carry people to Jesus. It wasn't about him. And then he says, you yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. The real mission accomplished is found in the next two verses. He that has the bride is the bridegroom. John says he's just a camel. He's just the means. He was just the friend here. The friend of the bridegroom, which stands and hears him. And John said he was happy about people not following him anymore, but the fact that he was able to transport them to Jesus. He that has the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom which stands and hears him rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy therefore is fulfilled. He's brought these people into close proximity to Jesus, and now they are flocking and following Jesus. He brought Rebecca to Isaac. And then John says this, he must increase, but I must decrease. I was a good camel. I did my job. Wonderful story. It's as if John had said, go to the bridegroom. I'm just a camel. Rebecca didn't get on the camel for the joyride of riding on a camel. She got on the camel to meet Isaac. Now, building on this a little bit more, brothers and sisters, I want us to see that right here in this passage, we have what we call today evangelism, which, by the way, is found in our Old Testament lesson. We had it read for us in Isaiah chapter 40. Some wonderful verses here. Verse 1. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. And again, this isn't just feel good at Christmas time. If you were here last week, you heard us talk about what? Comfort and condemnation. The arrival of God always brings those two. Comfort for some, condemnation for others. But speaking to God's people, comfort ye, my people. Those that truly belong to me. Your warfare is over. Your ship has come in. And in verse 3, we read, prepare ye the way. It's kind of like kind of like the servant of Abraham going to the well there and meeting Rebecca and getting permission for Rebecca to come and it's riders up. Saddle up. Let's go. But how about verse 9? Verse 9 says this, O Zion, that's the people of God, not national Israel, not necessarily, this is the spiritual bride that from before the foundation of the world always abided in Christ. That's who Zion is. O Zion, that bringeth good tidings. Now, the Old Testament is written in Hebrew here, but in the Septuagint, that's the Greek translation of this verse right here. You know what that word is, bring, who brings good tidings? That the role of Zion, the spiritual bride here, is to bring good tidings. That word is evangelism. Evangelize. O Zion, that evangelizes, that brings good tidings. So we're all supposed to be camels, bringing people to Jesus. That very same Greek word is found at least three more times in the book of Isaiah. Did you know that? Some of us thought evangelism started with the New Testament. But here it is, it's Isaiah 40 and going forward, and this begins with this ministry of John the Baptist as this camel bringing the bride, that's the church, to the bridegroom. It begins this whole several passage section on evangelism. John the Baptist, again, was the initiator of this in a sense, right? The first to say to Zion, behold, behold them, and I will give to Jerusalem one that bringeth good tidings. There's evangelism again. Perhaps you remember Isaiah 52 and verse 7. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of him that brings good tidings, that publishes peace, that brings good tidings. That word is evangelism there. Good tidings of good, that publishes salvation, that says unto Zion, your God reigns. And then we come to chapter 61 and verse 1. And when Jesus actually comes on the scene and the church, the bride is being gathered to him, what does he say? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the good news, the good tidings. Evangelize to the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to them that are bound. What wonderful news the gospel is. By the way, if we could go back to Isaiah 40 and verse 9 for just 1 second. O Zion, that bringeth good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. He's not talking about the Rocky Mountains. He's not talking about the Grafton Mountains. I'll tell you what he's talking about. Do you remember the chorus? Go tell it on the mountain. That great Christmas carol we sing. Shout it from the rooftops. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. And do the same thing that John did. Carry people in. Bring people in. Gather the bride. You know, that servant of Abraham, he's out there. He's just, you know, I don't really know who this person's going to be. Just like we don't know. People don't have the word elect on their forehead. Oh, there's someone who belongs to God. No, he just went out to the well. And he prays for guidance. And he finds Rebecca. Carry people in. And, you know, how do we do that today? We do that with love and with good deeds and with words. And especially the words that are given to us in the scripture. Behold your God. And behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. When people heard those words from John the camel, they followed Jesus. When he said, look at him. And so it's our part, it's your part to be a Christmas camel. Of course, come to Jesus yourself first. But carry the cargo. So right now, I hope you're thinking about somebody in your life that, you know what? I'm going to bring that person, I'm going to do all I can to bring that person to Christ. I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to speak to them. I'm going to serve them. Carry the cargo. Carry his bride to him, just like John did. Look the part. Play the part. I don't want anybody to go out and buy a coat of camel hair. Camels are great for cargo. But they also are notable for their range. How far they go. What they will endure to bring that cargo. Great for cargo, notable for range. Often the road is long. Often the road is hard. I probably should have done this in my preparation. I really don't know geographically exactly how far Abraham's servant had to go to get to that well where Rebecca was. I guess that would have made this more complete. I don't know how dry it was. I don't know how mountainous it was. I don't know what the hardships were. I don't know what the, you know, how much water they had. I do know this in our lives. Often the road is really hard. And it's really long. And sometimes being a camel is kind of painful. And sometimes camels have some of their own injuries that make it longer and harder. But I want to ask this question. We began with this question. How far will you go to bring someone to Jesus? How far will you go? We mentioned some people will walk a mile for a cigarette. Advent is an exercise in waiting and being patient. And continuing to endure hardship. That's what Advent is about. I mean, if our hopes were already materialized and already here, there'd be no waiting. There'd be no need for patience. But Advent is an exercise in waiting, being patient, and continuing in hardship. And all the while being productive. And all the while bearing fruit. And all the while progressing. I wonder if you caught how St. Peter characterizes this in our New Testament lesson, 2 Peter 3. A day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day. In verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward. God will be with us in our camel-like journeys. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We have a pretty short message today, but be a Christmas camel. Be a camel in terms of cargo. What's the purpose of your life? What are you doing with your time? And are we saying, I must decrease and he must increase? Is that a baseline for us? It ought to be. Be a Christmas camel in cargo and in range. How far will you go? What lengths will you endure? And join the army of camels. You're not alone. Join the army of camels that are bringing the church to Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, Amen. Our God and our Father in heaven, we thank you at this Christmas time here that we have examples and we have your word, and your word is just so rich, it's so full. And thank you for those who are far better than I at bringing out details. But I thank you for us being able to apply it further and build upon it further. And to recognize how cargo impacts our lives and how range impacts our lives. I pray that you help each and every single one of us to apply this very simple message. And we thank you for John. We thank you for his example. We thank you for him looking the part, playing the part, dressing the part. May we be likewise clothed. Clothed with your calling. In the name of Jesus, amen.